Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is Zach Meisel. He covers the Indians for The Athletic, and he joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Zach, save me, please. Hello.
I think that was a teachable moment for Mr. Dan Medigan.
Oh, there. Well played, well played.
Hey, 13 runs. The offensive drought is over. It's done. They're going to hit the rest of the year, Zach.
I mean, how many times have we all seen a team score, I don't know, 14, 15 runs, and you know the next night they come out and they're going to get shut out? Feels like that always happens. Maybe it won't. They're facing the White Sox, who certainly don't have the best pitching and who the Indians were able to score some runs against about a week and a half ago. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully everyone is just able to collect themselves, take a deep breath, and not put so much pressure on themselves. That's what you hope. But, you know, this game is weird, and momentum, they say, is, you know, it only goes until you face the next day's starting pitcher. So we'll see.
Zach, Sandy Alomar brought it up after the game yesterday. Patience. I mean, and having a good game plan when you're going up there. It's true. I don't know if it was a caller, one of us said, you know, the guys are swinging at everything before. Last night, when you score runs with the bases loaded and take walks, something's right. You've got the right, and if you can wear down a starter who's been able to strike out quite a few guys, that last night, I think, to me, should have showed the team that if you have a game plan, I mean, I know it's simple baseball, but if you got a game plan and you're patient and you're not trying to swing out of your shoes all the time, you're going to give yourself great opportunities.
Yeah, and they have people in the lineup who can do that. I mean, Carlos Santana walked four times last night. That's his calling card. Cesar Hernandez, most of his career, has had a really good walk rate. So it's tough to do when it's a team-wide slump and you know that someone has to get that big hit to put you over the top. And it's tough to have patience when you're going as poorly as they've been going, just because you're so desperate to get that hit, to look up at the scoreboard and not see that ugly batting average and ugly OPS. So I understand it can be difficult. It might go against what your brain wants you to do, but you're right. I mean, patience is paramount there. And I mean, you know, the big thing is it just seems like pitchers are going up there and throwing them nothing but off-speed pitches because they know that the Indians are so desperate that they're going to chase them. And how many times have we seen Framil Reyes look just completely lost, you know, lunging for a slider in the dirt? And then when he finally does get a fastball, he's looking off-speed because they know he can't touch the off-speed stuff. So they're able to just throw a fastball down the middle and he's frozen. So when you're going like that, it can be tough to just take a step back and say, all right, I need to be patient. I need to try to get ahead in the count, make the pitcher work, give me what I want. And they were finally able to do that last night.
Zach, we all know pitching dominates. You know, if you have pitching, you can be in every game. But even with that, I can't imagine the pitching continuing to be as great as it's been. So the offense is going to have to work eventually. My issue is, I look at the lineup, I look at the roster, I look at what's in Eastlake, I don't see where it's going to come from. I think you have maybe four guys that you can count on for offense, and then your fingers are crossed on everybody else. What do you do here if you're Terry Francona or right now Sandy Alomar?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, like, there will be regression offensively. I mean, there will be Lindor's not going to hit this poorly, Santana's not going to hit this poorly, even Framil Reyes. He has a track record. He's going to hit for some power. And, you know, the guys, especially in the top half of the lineup, those guys, they'll be fine eventually. And maybe they don't have, you know, maybe Lindor doesn't have an MVP-type season, but he'll be better than he's been. So there will be some positive regression there. I don't know about the bottom half of the lineup because you can't really count on anything from the catching position. The outfield has been basically pull three names out of a hat, throw them out there, hope they hit. But in the 60-game season, you know, you almost have to just pick a few guys, run with them, and give them daily at-bats because it's so hard for them to get in a rhythm. I mean, Jordan Luplo is really, you know, losing out here because the Indians haven't faced very many lefties. So they've tried to mix him in against right-handers. Well, that's not really his, you know, his forte necessarily. And so, you know, he's hitless still. You're right. Like, it's you know, Daniel Johnson, they're high on him. But they want him to be an everyday player at some point. Well, he's not doing that if he's playing 2 to 3 times a week and, you know, getting, you know, you're trying to make judgments after 14 games. It's really hard to do. So my issue is, I think the offense will rebound. I don't think this is statistically the worst offense in the league as it's been so far. But the pitching's going to regress some, too. You know, you can't expect them to have a 2 ERA all season. And so it's just, will you get enough offense to offset, you know, whatever regression befalls the pitching staff? That's going to determine, you know, how good this team actually is.
What's the latest on Tito, and what have we thought of what Sandy's been able to do here in this short little run?
So he's staying back this weekend, as we know, and they'll have what they hope, I think, is a final update on Monday. I think the hope is that he'll be back with the team at some point next week, but it's pretty, you know, they're to his privacy, and because it's a health thing, they're kind of keeping a lot under wraps. You know, it's been a collaborative effort. They've had to make a lot of changes because you don't have Brad Mills, who normally would just slide over to that managerial spot. He and Terry Francona have been best friends for 40 years, and, you know, they basically share a brain. So, you know, you wouldn't necessarily skip a beat without Tito normally, but without Mills, too. You've got Sandy sliding over to that role, so you've got a new first base coach. They brought Mike Sarbaugh in to be kind of the temporary bench coach. So you've got a new third base coach. So it's really just all hands on deck. You know, Carl Willis making a lot of the pitching decisions. I think Sandy just working with all the other coaches to make sure everyone's on the same page. You know, there's enough weirdness and protocols and guidelines you have to follow this season already. So it would be a tough undertaking, I think, for one person. So it's good that they have kind of everybody working together.
Zach Meisel is joining us. He covers the Indians for The Athletic. Here you win 3 games and you go from earlier this week, you're a game under 500, you're 3.5 back. You got multiple teams to hop to now second place, and you're 2.5 games back, and all of a sudden, as small of a difference as that is, Zach, it feels a lot better. That's the weird part about this season. And, man, you cannot afford to let some of these pitching performances go by. That's the concern I have, man. You've been getting great, great pitching to the point where 8-6 doesn't begin to give you anything for all the pitching you've received. My fear is that they're unable to capitalize on this stretch because, as you said, the starting pitching is not going to keep going like this. And if the offense doesn't get going, I think this is a tremendous opportunity that's being wasted right now.
Guys, the season started 2 weeks ago today. It's already 25% over. It gets late early. You know, the good thing is, obviously, there's 16 playoff teams. The Indians stand a really, really good chance of making the playoffs, but what you need to do before then is figure out what's the formula. You know, what is our bread and butter? How do we win games? You know, in 2016, it became so easy because every night you knew it was just get as much as you can out of the starter and then turn it over to that bullpen, get a couple timely hits, and it seems like they won every game like 2-0. That's been the recipe so far this season, but as you said, you know, you can't expect a pitching staff to go 60 games, you know, allowing 2 runs a night. That's not realistic. So they need to know which hitters they can rely on. They need to know what is the outfield combination that works. You know, is Roberto Perez going to come back and be his normal self? Is that shoulder going to be okay? You know, you don't have minor league games. You have these simulated games in Eastlake, but it's not normal. So it's not like you can go on a rehab assignment. So, you know, is Tyler Naquin going to play a part in this? I mean, there's a lot of questions and things to sort out. And like you said, Jeff, I mean, there's 6 weeks left. Like you gotta start to learn some answers and kind of get in a rhythm before, you know, you get to the point where you're figuring out if you're going to make the playoffs and what your seed's going to be and all that. So, yeah, there's a lot to learn still and not a ton of time to do so.
Hey, Zach, where are you with Brad Hand right now? I mean, it's the most talked about 4 1/3 innings of the season when it comes to the bullpen. And maybe, I don't know, there's a part of me that thinks that, you know, the more, it's like, I don't know, everybody likes the backup quarterback. And when Karinchak looks good out there, he looks really good. And I'm wondering if that pressure isn't such a bad thing for Brad Hand.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are drawn to Karinchak because he throws 97 and he's got a wicked curveball and he chews on his glove and curses at himself after strikeouts. You know, it's easy to watch him and have fun with it, right? So, Hand is tough. Like, the velocity, he's not going to throw 95 anymore. I think we have to accept that. You know, when relievers lose a few miles an hour, I don't know many examples of when they randomly get that back. He can still be an effective pitcher, but command is more important than ever for him. He's got a really, really good slider, but he has to be able to throw for strikes because, you know, you have to be careful with the fastball. If you're only throwing 90, 91, you better put that exactly where the catcher's calling for it. So, you know, I'm interested to see he's starting to mix in this curveball that he used to throw, especially he was a starter back in the day in Miami, and he threw it a little bit in San Diego and then completely abandoned it last year. But he's mixing in that a little bit more to try to just give him another option. But it's interesting. I mean, he went almost a week without pitching after the blow-up against the White Sox, came back, and the velocity was back a little bit. You know, he looked sharper. He was throwing like 93, and then he pitched again the next night, and the velocity was down to 90, 91. So you can tell, I mean, you don't want to overuse him. You want to pick your spot. And I think in a season like this, too, like, you don't have to just say, all right, you know, Ollie Perez gets the seventh, Karinchak gets the eighth, and Brad Hand gets the ninth. Like, you can play to your strengths, and maybe if there's some lefties coming up in the eighth, go with Hand in the eighth, go Karinchak in the ninth. Like, you don't have to just stay in those set innings, especially if it's not, you know, going to get the most out of Brad Hand. Because it seems like Karinchak can face anybody and pitch at any time because the stuff is that good, and he doesn't have the wear and tear that Brad Hand did. So I think, you know, we're all going to overreact to the good and to the bad in a season like this. So, you know, I understand people who are going crazy after two questionable outings by Brad Hand, and now everyone says that, yeah, Brad Hand looks great, all-star form again. You know, it's probably somewhere in the middle, but in 60-game season, you just can't have the patience you normally would have.
Zach, last thing. You take a look at what the Indians have offensively right now. You take a look at what they have at East Lake in a normal situation. You take a look at what they have elsewhere in the minor league system. There would appear, unless you think Bobby Bradley is going to suddenly become what he's done in the minors and the majors, there would appear that there's not a bat anywhere near that could come up and help this team. Would that put us in a situation where the Indians might be looking to trade from a position of strength, pitching, for a bat in this short season? We've had other people tell us they don't expect to see any kind of big trades this year. Would you expect to see something like that? Do you think the Indians think they have enough starting pitching where maybe they could trade a guy who is either in East Lake or maybe isn't Pletko, who looks like he's ready to be a starter and isn't getting the opportunity here, to get a bat?
Normally I'd say yes, but I'm with the other people you've spoken to where you look around and you see the Marlins thing pop up. You see the Cardinals thing pop up. There are just so many hurdles to making any sort of prominent trade because there is no guarantee that we get through this season. And I think we will. I hope we will. But there are just these things that can pop up that can just throw everything off. And, you know, what if the Marlins thing happened in the last week of the season? You know, how would – and, I mean, they're in first place right now. How would the playoffs work? Like, there's so many unknowns that I don't think teams are going to be willing to take the risks that they normally would. The Indians certainly have the starting pitching depth where they could make a trade. I mean, they have Tristan McKenzie sitting there, Logan Allen, who's been on the taxi squad. Those guys are not far from being major league ready. So, and you have Plesac and Plutko and Savali and Bieber and Clay. I mean, all their starting pitchers have multiple years of team control. So it's definitely an area that you could trade from. But you're right. You know, it's tough because even if you called upon a Bobby Bradley, even someone like Nolan Jones, if you went to someone in Eastlake to say, all right, we need a bat, we need someone to step in here, I mean, they've just been facing their teammates in inter-squad games for a month. Like, it's really tough to just know that they have the timing down and that they could come up and contribute against major league pitching in this new environment. So I think you're kind of stuck with what you have, and that's why you need to just pick a few outfielders who you believe in and run with it.
Hey, Zach Meisel. He covers the Indians for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at ZACKMEISEL. And, of course, he's the author of the book Cleveland Rock, the story of the 95 Indians. Zach, thank you very much. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you for the teachable moments, my friend. Thank you.
Well, you guys are going to have a lot of reasons why you're smarter from today's show.
Thanks, Zach.
Wow. You're spending way too much time listening to the radio.
Take care,
thank you, Zach.
See ya.
Zach joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.